Hello, I'm here with Dr. Flota from James Madison University. I'm conducting an interview for the condition of American bookstores in the country of the United States, and we are also talking about any particular experience that Mr. Flota has had with any bookstores. So to get started, how has the industry of bookstores changed, in your opinion?
The sort of lack of, you know, I mean, when I was coming up, the big thing was Borders. So I mean, the sort of demise of Borders was sort of a big thing. Another thing that seems to be happening is that the sort of mom and pop bookstores went away, but they seem to be coming back a little bit, at least from anecdotal evidence. So back in the heyday of Borders, you could get like the books for your college classes, like theory books. I mean, like pretty like non-mainstream stuff. They had everything. As their business model changed, that those titles started to leave the store, and it started to be more, you know, Harry Potter, Twilight kind of stuff. And it seems like the holdovers, like Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, are sort of in that same place. You can't really go there and get surprised by books you find. You pretty much know exactly what's going to be in those stores. So,
yeah. All right. So kind of going off of that, where do you think the industry is going? Where is it progressing towards? Just where is the industry going?
It's sort of an interesting place. About 5 years ago, all indicators would suggest that because of Amazon and e-books and all that stuff, that the printed book was dead. But what I've been reading, statistics have shown that more print books were bought last year than in any other book on record, or other, any other year on record. And that e-book title purchasing has flattened. I mean, I think it's still increasing, but the numbers are down substantially from where they were a few years ago. Also, as I mentioned earlier, like independent bookstores actually seem to be cropping up. And now I think it's worth mentioning that I've been a lifelong like vinyl record collector. That's something that was, 10 years ago, totally dead, but vinyl has been in a sort of big resurgence, sort of paralleling with the sort of demise of compact discs and the rise of MP3s and stuff like that. Okay. So what's happened is there's like no real tangible thing for people to hold on to anymore. So as a result, people are sort of returning to vinyl. So it's really weird to see like they're selling vinyl at Barnes & Noble, like Urban Outfitters and things like that. And it seems like a similar thing might be happening in bookstores as well. So it'll be really interesting to see where this goes. I work in a library, so here the sort of move is to move away from printed books towards e, just because of space. It's easier to store those things. But if the trends start to go back toward a more print-friendly place, I'm wondering how that's going to affect my job. How we think about books in the library space. So I don't know. Seems like it's up for grabs.
Yeah, that's very interesting. So is there a particular shop geographically where you've had a memorable experience? It could be like your favorite bookstore. It could be just a place where you've had a memorable experience shopping in it.
I'll probably name a few that still exist and a few that don't.
Okay.
When I was just a high school student, undergrad student, there was this really cool place where I lived in Riverside, California. Sadly, I don't remember the name of it anymore, but it was like the first place where I would go and find like the cool, like, Jack Kerouac kind of books and stuff like that, which, you still couldn't really find at B. Dalton, which is like not really in existence anymore. Walden Books, sort of old mall bookstores. Yeah. When I was in grad school, I lived in the D.C. area, and there was actually a couple of chains that were really cool. There was a chain of bookstores called Olson's, and it was really cool. They had, you know, a lot of these places had CDs, and they had books, but they would occasionally get, like, big authors to sign a bunch of copies of their books, so you could buy, like, signed copies of, like, pretty big writers for the same price as new copies. So I got, like, a book signed by Salman Rushdie, and I got books signed by Colson Whitehead, who wrote a couple of novels that were really highly regarded at the time, and, like, Henry Louis Gates, the prominent African-American literary critic. So that was really cool. I think there were, like, maybe four or five in the area. I think they're all closed down. There's another place that, and I think it's still there. It's in DuPont Circle, called Second Story Books. And that was always a really cool place to browse. It was all used, but they had a good mix of sort of academic and popular stuff. They had little videotapes and, you know, just sort of old relics, postcards, things like that. As far as, and I mentioned earlier, I used to really love Borders. I spent an insane amount of money at Borders back in the day. And then, you know, they sort of, their business model went towards the old Blockbuster Video style. Yeah. Instead of just, like, having everything and, you know, just being really cool, they sort of went to the, you know, we're pushing a specific item this month, and we're going to sort of be in your face about you buying these sort of select things. And then they're, you know, they put stores everywhere, so they oversaturated their product, and then they, you know, then they started, you know, reducing it down to only the things that people would buy, and, you know, eventually, you know, no one wanted to go there anymore. Two other places, and they've probably been mentioned elsewhere because they're huge. One is in Portland, Oregon, as Powell's, which is insane. Like, it's like three or four stories, and, like, they've just got a ton of stuff, and, like, if you're visiting, it's just like you'll spend 2 or 3 hours there. And honestly, like, I'm old enough now that I really don't spend a lot of time in bookstores anymore, because, like, as you can see, pointing to the bookshelf behind me that has, you know, a couple hundred books on it, you know, I very rarely am just browsing anymore, but at Powell's you can really sort of get lost in there, because they just have so much stuff. And I did my doctoral dissertation on the San Francisco Bay Area, and so a very important bookstore there is a place called City Lights Books. They also publish stuff. They published Allen Ginsberg's Howl, which became the subject of a censorship trial and sort of put that place on the map, but it's been open every day until, like, midnight since the mid-50s. And really good bookstore, more sort of creative, you know, probably more left-wing kind of stuff they have there. But it's great. There's always a lot of cool mixture of tourists and locals there. It's a really good place. So those are, hopefully I didn't go way too long.
Yeah, no, that was great. So my next question is, it's kind of going off of the changing of the industry, but what effect do you think tablets and e-readers are having on the industry? And in your opinion, do you think that effect is negative or positive or somewhere in between?
I think it's generally positive. It means more people to read. I personally am not a fan of... it's hard for me to read on those things. Too many distractions. I've read one e-book. So it's just not my preferred method, but that being said, I mean... You know, people read books on these things. The portability, the instant access to things. I'd say in general, it's a net positive. There are issues. I mean, if you buy, like, an Amazon book, there are these weird, like, user agreements that make it so, like, for instance, if a relative dies, like, you can't even get access to that stuff because one person bought it. So it isn't like a book that you can just sort of pass down. Also, like, it's interesting, and so I work at the reference desk, and students will come in and say, you know, do you have this book? And look in the catalog, and, you know, we only have it in an E, and they're often kind of disappointed that they can't get a tactile object. It seems that undergrads like to read personal, you know, like, whatever is the big thing right now. I don't even know what everybody's reading right now. It was, like, those Hunger Games, you know, kind of things or whatever. Like they'll read those on their e-readers, but if it's an academic book, they really don't like it. Mm-hmm. So, and a lot of that has to do with just the interface is pretty weak at this point. So they'll continue to make improvements, and I think in time, you know, it'll be better. But right now, there's just a lot of sort of legal stuff that sort of prevents them from being optimal.
Yeah.
But in general, I'd say it's a net positive.
Okay. Awesome. So you've kind of already touched on this as well, but do you think large retail bookstores such as Barnes & Nobles or Books A Million, or obviously Borders already has, but do you think they'll be extinct or less significant in the near future, and why or why not?
It's very, very possible. People are going to buy the popular books. That's always going to happen. But in a store that, like, I mean, you've been to the Barnes & Noble here in town. I don't know if you have or not, but the store is huge. And I just don't know how much of that stuff outside of the sort of first couple of rows where the new books are and the magazines and the coffee, like how many people actually spend time out in those parts of the stores. Mm-hmm. You know, they have like the CD and DVD area sort of enclosed. And I know I've been to a couple Barnes & Nobles where they just got rid of that. Like, they don't even sell that stuff anymore. You know, and then the children's stuff's in the back because they're, you know, thinking that parents have to look at the other stuff while the parents... So, I don't know. It's really hard to tell. Like, I only go to Barnes & Noble just to look for clearance books and stuff like that. But if there is this sort of rumored rise of independent booksellers, especially in this sort of age where people are, like, sort of have, like, you know, Walmart fatigue, you know, where, like... You know, Walmart comes into town. It's like, sure, we can get all our stuff for cheap, but all of our people around here own local businesses, sort of have to deal with that and probably get pushed out of business by somebody like Walmart. Seems like there might be a move towards the sort of independent, but I really don't know. You know, I think it's a possibility. I think one of those big chains is probably going to go down. Seems like Barnes & Noble invested a lot of money in their, like, Nook and all that, and it just sort of bombed, and I don't know if they'll be able to rebound from something like that, because I'm sure that cost a lot of money.
Yeah.
So, sure. Yeah. Right. So, question mark.
Yeah, okay. I think that will conclude. Really appreciate the interview, and I got a lot of helpful information, so thank you. All right.